to stand to have the Bible read this morning. Our brother George Jordan is going to read for us a rather extended portion. And if you can't stand up all the time, just sit down, that's all. It's Hebrews chapter 5 and also chapter 7. Come and read for us, please, brother.
Get my specs on. Chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason of hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all men, or all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now turn it to chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them receiveth tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, prayed tithes, paid tithes than Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swore and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, both an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Yeah, you can sit down now, and you want me to pray. Okay, I'm going to pray. Okay, one mind and one spirit. Father, we just thank you so much that we can be here. I thank you, Father, that I had this beautiful privilege, dear God, to read thy precious word to your saints, Father. I pray for every soul here today. I pray, Father, that there be one precious soul here today that does not have assurance of salvation. I pray, dear God, that today they'll settle that in their mind and their heart and have confidence, Father, and to rest in thee, Father. I ask that you have us to be the way you want us to be, one mind, one spirit, considering each other to provoke each other to good works and love, Father. Now, dear Father, I pray for Pastor as he brings the message today, that it'll go into our hearts, that we'll have the Holy Spirit of God teach us, Father, that we understand and receive thy word with gladness, Father. Now in Jesus' precious, wondrous name, Father, with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jordan. Appreciate the reading of the Word of God and all that has come to our hearts this morning. Just want to make a rather distressing report that Pastor Mathan's wife is not well and has had a number of procedures in Ohio, and the conclusion is that apparently she must go home. So she's going back to South Africa. What that means for us is that he cannot be here next Lord's Day. He's driving tomorrow to Washington and seeing to her getting back to this to South Africa. I think he's going to stay here, principally because his daughter, Ruth, who many of us know, had a child in her womb and it died. So as a stillborn child, so he's got double problems, shall I say, with which to face himself. So he's going there to Washington to care for the needs there with his daughter, while his wife apparently will be going back to South Africa. But it means that he will just finish off a few opportunities, perhaps in Washington, or go back sometime next week. So do pray for that family in the will of God. I would also like to ask you to pray for a lady by the name of Marie Gordon. Her husband went to be the Lord yesterday at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he's been a longtime friend. As a matter of fact, he told me that he came to know salvation by grace through faith and the fact of eternal security through my ministry many, many years ago. He was a member of a Church of Christ, and the Church of Christ does not accept eternal security for the soul that believes in Christ. So I'd appreciate your prayers for our sister, Marie Gordon. Also, I received a letter yesterday from Brother Yam Hong in Thailand. This is an email, and he said one of his very close friends, who's a missionary in another part of the country, from German background, but he's been witnessing among the Thailandese people. He was hurrying to take his wife to the hospital because she was to give birth. And on the way, something happened with the pregnancy, and she died in his chair, in his car. He did everything he could to revive her. Somebody stopped to help them, but that was to no avail. And so she was taken to the hospital, and that was the end. He's left with four children, and so there's a heartache in many parts of the world. I commend you to pray for that. Many of you read in your paper about that Duesenberg car that was hit by somebody, a man, young fellow, who ran a stop sign and broadsided that family. Yesterday, the two children who survived went home. No mother, no father, and no brother. Just thank the Lord, my brother and sister, where you are and what you have. There's always somebody else who has something worse than yours. And it's good to remember that. I just bring a few of those items to your attention today. The items for our attention are in the bulletin. Please look at that. I only call your attention to one very important opportunity that you have, and that is to come back tonight and participate in the breaking of bread in this place to remember our blessed Lord. That will be at 6 o'clock tonight in the will of God. Aside from these, the announcements are there. Please read them and attend to them to the glory of the Lord. If you have some of the Lord's money that you'd like to share with God's people in this church, we give you that opportunity now. Please come. Brethren. us all stand to sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Ask our brother James Widgeon, please, to lead us in our prayer for the Thanksgiving offerings which have been offered to Him. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Brother Gene Renfro gave Richard Beard a song and asked him to sing it. You got it ready for it? Yes, I want you to come and sing it for him. Not only for him, but for the rest of us. About something about our sins are gone. Oh, you are the one. Who? Which one of you fellas? He was. He's the credit. All right. Here come, Richard. Thank you. Who is it, Brother George Jordan?
Well, we have two songs. I'll help you on this one. You gave me one. This is one that my wife and family learned at Captain Barrichell probably 10 years ago. They used to sing some lovely, lovely choruses there, and one is called My Sins Are Gone by Mickey Holliday. And what I'd like to do is to bring this back in the next evening service, not tonight, because communion, and we'll pass this out, and we'll all learn this. But it's a pastor would love to be to sing this with you this morning, because we had him at the home and we sang this. Now, Brother Jordan also has another beautiful chorus that we will work on that, too, within the next couple weeks. Okay, brother? It's right there. I have my hymnal, and we'll get these passed out. Just beautiful music. And I'm going to give this a whirl. I've practiced it on my own at home, but not with an accompaniment. But it's a beautiful hymn. Maybe you haven't heard it. It's two stanzas with a refrain. My sins are gone and will not be. Place. real and sure. His promise is secure. Oh, since he said it so, by faith I know my sins are gone. We're going to come back in a couple weeks. We're all going to sing this to bless our hearts. And Brother Jordan's on as well. What a great hymn.
Next song, please.
Okay, thank you.
All
righty. All right, would you stand with me, please? Number 402. Is that how you'd like it? You want Anne? Okay.
Yes.
Number 402, please. Like a River Glorious. I hope you enjoyed that. Not for me, just a blessing to my heart.
Before the preaching of the Word of God, Anna Widgeon is going to sing for us. Please come, Anna.
I'm going to sit down below so I can sing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anna. As I saw you singing there tonight, this morning, I thought of the time a number of years ago when her mother said to me, "I'm going to bring Anna into the meeting, and if she causes a problem, I'll take her out and I'll deal with her and bring her back." And here she is. She's gone. No, she stands next to her father now. Thank you so much. Wonderful to remember God's grace towards you. Thank you so much. I want to personally thank you for your prayers for me. You can see that my voice is virtually back to where it was once again. I was told by 6 different people in the medical profession to stay home and rest. That would be the best for me to regain my voice. But at the same time, I did see some very notable people. One was a speech therapist at the University of Michigan. His name is Mark Hexer, and he's done a great deal for me. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity once again to be able to articulate the Word of God. It's wonderful to be back here, the place in which I've been for over 24 years. And that's not easy to forget that for myself nor my wife. And we rejoice in the privileges which are given to us. We invite you to keep on coming here. And we certainly welcome, I should say, Ron Walker, but he's a doctor, Ron Walker. And he's not only that, but he's gone to a postdoctoral studies. And he was a great blessing in our place for many, many years. But he's most well known as being King Herod. And for those of you who remember that, that was a fantastic experience for King Herod. But at any rate, we will always remember Ron Walker. And so thankful. He's here in town for other reasons, but we're thankful that he stayed with the Postes last night and they brought him along this morning. Thank you so much, Ron, for being here. Now, if you have your Bible, I know it's hot and humid and other things, but if you'll give me about 30 to 35 minutes, we'll close around noon. I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 5, please. Hebrews chapter 5. It was over a month ago that we were studying in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Before we go to the Word, let us all pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy great grace to us and kindness and the bestowment to us of the capability to be here this morning for all of us. We could easily be someplace else in the depths of sin, or we could have been removed from this earthly scene like some of the people of whom we spoke this morning. But Lord, Thou hast in grace and mercy allowed us one more day to be spent in the praise and the honor and the glory of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, Lord, we do say thank Thee, and I pray that our lives may indeed represent what Christ has done for us in saving us from our sins and granting to us an opportunity to magnify His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, lead us, I pray, in this study this morning. In the name of Christ, I pray, trusting the Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. We pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. For one purpose, that he may offer, that's the verb, both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. In my notes, I have listed for you in the first paragraph what this is all about. Apparently, and you'll pardon me for reviewing this for you, but it's good to be remembered, these wonderful facts. There were Jewish people who had decided that maybe because of persecution, they had decided in the wrong way to receive the Lord as their Messiah and Savior. There are many who are ashamed to say that, but we must never be ashamed of our Lord. I had the opportunity to go to the Secretary of State this last week, and as I was walking towards the queue, it was a Wednesday morning, 11 o'clock in the morning they opened. As I was walking towards the queue, a lady and her daughter, I assume, came across the road. And we were both going for the next place in the line, or the queue. And I said to her as I came there, "You go ahead. You can see I have a little struggle in going fast." "No," she said, "you go, because you were obviously trying to get as fast there as you could." Well, that opened a conversation with her. It turned out that her daughter was from Russia, and she turned out to be a Jewish lady. But I had my cap on, which said, "Jesus, my great God." And she said, "It doesn't make sense. You got that cap on, and you're Jewish. How's that?" I said, "Well, I'm sort of like those Jews for Jesus. I believe in Jesus as my Messiah." She says, "You know, I've got a relative who believes like that too." I said, "See, that's why God put you in the queue here, so you can hear somebody else who's telling you you ought to believe." Well, she's very kind and gracious. I just praise the Lord for that. That's the third Jewish person I've met in the last about 10 days. And I wear that cap. It makes an impact on people. And you can wear anything around this town. So, and some people notice what you got and some don't notice. But at any rate, there are Jewish people who say, "You know, maybe I did the wrong thing because look at all the suffering we got since we believed." Then there were other Jewish people who said, "You know, we're not quite sure whether we should believe." And there are many like that. But I did sort of joke this lady when I said, quoting David Brickner and Moshe Rosen from Jews for Jesus, that there are more Jews per capita who believe in Jesus than Gentiles. Now, that's a very interesting figure. And she said, "I can't believe that." I said, "Well, you know, we're only 16 million in the world, and you got 6 billion of other people. So, but we are more who believe in Jesus as Messiah and Lord than the Gentiles." That excited her interest, and we thank the Lord for that. But some Jews say, "No, I need more evidence." And then there were certain Jews that were just not interested. But God put this book in the Bible so that they would get interested, and they would be interested in doing something towards the Lord. But in any case, you read that first paragraph and see all the background that leads up to this wonderful truth. There are reasons for not giving up the Lord. May I quote from a dear president at Wheaton College? Wheaton College going to the dogs, I'm afraid. The latest newspaper I got from my sister down in Florida was that they are now joining with the Roman Catholics and doing what they can. So they're now the so-called evangelicals going with the Roman Catholics. Headline news. And unfortunately, it also mentions one of the most popular preachers of our country as saying this is the right thing to do. That's very sad. But in any case, President Raymond Edmond was at Wheaton when I was there. And every semester when we were to get our examinations, he'd always preach on something from some portion of Scripture. And the title of his message was, "It's Always Too Soon to Quit." I've never forgotten that. It's always too soon to quit. Maybe you want to take that little thought in your own heart. These Jews should have
learn that. It's always too soon to quit. There's still grace to provide from the Lord. And Israel should have known that. In any case, there were a number of items that the Apostle Paul brought to the people who had these problems as to why they should not turn away.
I'm not going to review for you, but I trust you'll take the notes from verses 14 to 16. They are summarized in number 2 in the list of the notes which you have this morning. But what I would like to do is say, now we've come to the apex, the culmination of all the Jewish hierarchy, the high priest. And that hierarchy has reached the apex, the top. This is the one of all that you ought to be thinking about. That's why 14 to 16, and then he spends a couple of chapters dealing with this matter of the high priest. We had read for you this morning chapter 5 and also chapter 7. Actually, chapters 5 to 7 deal with the priesthood. Chapter 8 and 9 deal with the sanctuary. And chapter 10 deals with sacrifice. Those wonderful divisions until you come to chapter 11 with the heroes of faith. Keep them in your mind. 5 to 7 have to do with the priesthood. The sanctuary, chapter 8 and 9, and sacrifice, chapter 10. Good to remember those little thoughts. Now, this morning I want you to put your attention to what these verses have to say. Grab hold of every single word. I'm going to go very, very slowly and take each section so that by the grace of God, you will get it clearly in your mind. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained from men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. You notice the
qualifications of the priest. The qualifications for the priest.
They're listed here very carefully too. First of all, they are related to men. And the word for men is anthropos, not aner, which is the word for male people, but anthropos, the generic term.
They are related to men.
That's why it says twice here in verse number 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men. Both words are anthropos.
That's what the priest must be. He must be related to man. He's not an angel. He's not somebody, some other type of creature. He's a man, a person that you can feel and handle.
That's why it says here, for every high priest taken from among men. And you notice it says every high priest.
There is no high priest which wasn't from men. But now he's going to tell you that here's one who is not, who is more than man, see. But at the moment he wants to get across to you that he's man. This points to the incarnation of our blessed Lord. Don't miss that, friend.
For every high priest taken from among men. And I noted for you in the notes that it says present tense.
It's the common effort by high priests to be taken from time to time, always from among men.
And the little phrase, from among men, it was out amongst other people.
They were separated.
I'd like to give you just a passage that might help you to see how important the high priest is. Will you turn in your Bible, please, to Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 5. Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 5. I think this summarizes the basic qualifications for a high priest. Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 5.
Moses spoke unto Korah
and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his. That's point number one. Chosen people. Selected people. Secondly, who is holy. They had to be of that particular character. And thirdly, will cause him to come near unto him. In other words, to draw near to the Lord. Three items in a priest. Number one, he was to be chosen by the Lord. Secondly, he was to be holy. Third, he was drawn near to the Lord. Surely you picked up somewhere along the line that the prophet was the man who spoke to God, to the people, for God. The priest was the man who spoke for the people, to God. And that's what this is saying. He was chosen for that purpose. He had to be a holy person, but he also had to be somebody who could draw near to God. That's what is indicated here. And very wonderfully, he's pointed out, too, that it had to be from among men. What a glorious word. From time to time, there were different high priests, but everyone came from the anthropoi, the men, the generic term for men. A second item that is carefully stated here in chapter 5. For every high priest taken from men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. The word ordained has the idea of constituted by God. He's put in that position. God put him that way. He's constituted, it says there. He's constituted. He's not something that he can perform by himself. Today, there's this Christian democracy. I believe that God has special people for special tasks. If you don't believe that, read Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't believe that, read Romans chapter 12. If you don't believe that, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God has special people for special tasks. And certainly the high priest was a special person that God had selected, especially for himself. And that's why it says here, he was constituted. He was ordained, not in the sense of ordained as we understand, but he was constituted. He was put into that place by the grace of God. And for a purpose, look at what it says. He's ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Isn't that interesting? He was principally for men's benefit. Isn't that precious? The high priest was not there for his own benefit, to parade around his nice garments, but he was there to help people. I may suggest to you, dear friend, that any man who's a servant of God, whether he's a high priest or a priest, or whether he's a preacher today or a missionary, he's there for people. He's a people man. He's got to be. Otherwise, he's not fulfilling his purpose. The purpose is not to say, look who I am and see what I have accomplished, but he's there for men. If you're a Sunday school teacher, what are you there for? For the kids. If you're somebody who knows how to sing, what are you there for? To get people to sing for the Lord's glory. Whatever you are, whatever your role is, it's for men, it's for others, not for self. You know the little quip, don't you? What is joy? Jesus first, others second, and you last. That's joy. But when you put yourself first, I look out for my own self. Forget it, friend. That's not the way to do it. Here is clearly stated that the high priest was for men. He was ordained for men. But you notice also that it says he's for men in things pertaining to God and not for other things. I am very greatly, concerned that there are preachers who get off the rails. It's okay to be anti-abortion, which I am. I advertise at the back of my car. Some people say, don't you feel kind of strange about it? And I say, no. I see all kinds of bumper stickers. Why can't I have something? So I have it on all my cars. Recently, a friend of mine said, you got to take those things off. I said, not over my dead body. So
any rate, you're there for God's purpose. I'm against abortion, and I'm against some other things that are going on, but I got to be careful. You got to be careful that you don't get sidetracked. What's your main purpose in life? Is to win souls, to edify believers. That's the big thing. You can easily get on a sidetrack. It's okay. Take, for example, the persecution of Christians around the world. It's a terrible thing. Look at the people who are used as chattels for pornography. I can't sleep at night when I think of women and little girls, men and boys, who are captured. And there they are. There's nothing they can do. It boggles your mind. It just drives you crazy. And so all the stuff that comes in my office or my home, I mean, probably 10 pieces out of 11 are this kind of thing. Support this, support that, support it. Goodness, I wouldn't have any money to give to the church. Giving money to that and being involved in all that stuff. See, and I think that this is important. It says that the high priest was there for things pertaining to God. The word that's used there is pros, in regard to God. That's the thing. And we got to keep him first in our lives, my brother and sister. Be careful. You don't let something else take your vision. Put it onto God. That was the high priest. And we are priests unto God, says Peter. So it's something for us to remember. And then he says that he may offer. The high priest was to offer. He was to do something. He was his function. He had a function to perform, namely to offer. Prospero, to bring something to God. That's what it was all about. And he brought two items to God. They're right there in your text. Gifts and sacrifices. You see that? The gifts were the non-bloody items, like the meal offering. Stuff that they could bring to God, but non-bloody. But the second is the sacrifices, the bloody things. So both, anything you bring, bring it to God. Whether it's stuff that, like a peace offering or a sacrifice for a sin offering, bring the stuff to God. My brother and sister, I don't know how you think about it, but I trust you understand that when this life is gone, it's gone. See, what's that little phrase? Only what's done for Christ is going to last. That's all. All the other stuff is going to go down the drain. I'm not against education or a good profession or anything like that. And I'm proud of people who succeed. But the other thing is that when you get down to the end of life, what do you got? What's in your little bag? Yeah, what are you saying? Lord, this is what I'm bringing home. You know, I think of this brother, Gordon, Chester Gordon. He taught Sunday school. He's a part of his local church. He's just always busy for the Lord. And then the Lord laid him aside. Now he's gone. He's finished. And you know, what you want to remember is, what did I bring to the Lord? Gifts, sacrifices. For the high priest, it's detailed that these gifts and sacrifices are indicated. Look at your text. For sins. It was in behalf of sins. He didn't come and say, Lord, I'm just jumping up and down about this stuff. He says, I'm bringing this stuff because our people are sinners. They need somebody to stand in the way. Somebody says it now, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 says, it's not by the blood of bulls and goats that we get our sins forgiven. We know that. But why did he offer the sins? Because they were obedient to God. They were doing exactly what God said at that stage in history. See, Romans chapter 3 says that they had to wait until the Lord Jesus Christ came. He was the one who took away the sins through his precious blood. But whatever God asked them to do, they were supposed to do. Like, for example, in Genesis 15, Abram was asked to believe God. That's all. He didn't say believe in Jesus Christ. He said believe God. And whatever I tell you, you're going to believe it. And beloved, my brother, sister, this is what it's our job. But here, the high priest was to bring things for sin. Can I just review that for you? Number one, he was to be a man from amongst men. Secondly, he was ordained for men.
For what purpose? So he could bring things to God, both gifts and sacrifices, and for sin. This was his job. Just tear the verse apart, my brother. Word by word, and you get a most wonderful testimony as to what God is trying to tell you, the high priest. Now, I'd like to jump ahead, of course, and say, like in verse number 5, so also Christ glorified. In other words, Christ is the high priest he's talking about. But in the first place, it's just any high priest, anyone taken from amongst men. But there's going to be a special one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a third item that I'd like you to see in verse number 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? I would like to take the little phrase, on them that are out of the way, as an extrapolation of what it means to be ignorant. A person is ignorant because he has gone out of the way. He's been deceived. That's what the real word means. To be out of the way means to be deceived. He has to have compassion on the ignorant, on the man who doesn't understand, and on them that are out of the way. My brother, I think it's very, very important for us to always remember that some people don't have as much information as you have. If they had as much information as you have, they'd believe and be properly saved and want to live for the Lord. But some people don't have that. I hope that tonight this girl will come. She's the girl who is in the office of this Mark Hexer in the speech therapy at the university. Her name is Michelle. And the first day I went in, I had my cap. She says, I like your cap. So I said, good. Why do you like it? She says, because I believe that same way. And I gave her a gospel tract. She says, I'll take it, but I believe that way. But she says, give one to her. That was her assistant behind her. Give one to her. She needs it. So I gave one to her. Well, every week I've been going, she's responded so nicely to me. And so last Friday, she said to me, where do you go to church? And I told her, and I took out one of my little cards, and I gave it. I said, why don't you come on Sunday? I said, I know you go to your own church in the morning, but why don't you come Sunday night? Because she goes to Detroit. So she said, well, I might come. And when I left, let me tell you what she said to me. She said, will you sit down here? I want to ask you a question. By that time, my wife went out. She thought I was right behind her. And then I couldn't find my wife. I thought she was in the women's room, and she wasn't. And I found her way down at the end of the information desk. This is on the first floor at the hospital. Well, she sat down, and she quietly, she breathed the ground. She said, I want to ask you a question. What about these Jewish people? Why do they get first place to believe? Why? What's the matter with the rest of us? I said, it doesn't say that. I said, there's no preference with God, but there's order with God. And she said, just a minute, I want to write that down. She said, I went to Bible study. They were talking about the Jews and Gentiles, and I didn't believe what they were saying, but I didn't know how to answer them. So I said, well, I know there's a man who's going to come here Friday morning. I'll ask him. What a joy, what a privilege to share with somebody the things of the Lord. Oh, my friend, do you know what I'm talking about? Why do I take an interest in stuff like that? It's not because I'm bold and I'm brash or something else, because I have compassion as a person for another person. Do you understand, dear friend, that the people you talk to, the people you see, if they don't believe in Christ, they don't understand, they're ignorant. But somebody's got to tell them. Who's going to tell them? You got to tell them. You say, don't be so forceful. But that's what needs to be done. I was in a restaurant down in Dayton. I got to tell you this story. Very nice restaurant, because you could eat all you want. They even had steaks. I couldn't believe it. For $5.50. Boy, I felt like going there every day, but that's too much. But at any rate, this one day, I passed a gospel tract to the two people, the mother and a daughter, sitting across from us. And she said, no, I don't want that. I said, why? It's God's word. She said, I'm a witness. I said, so am I. You a Jehovah's Witness like I am? She said, you're not a Jehovah's Witness. You gave me that gospel tract. She said, I don't take that stuff. Well, the old granny, she was upset with her daughter. She said, you mustn't talk to an old man like that. You got to be more polite. And anyway, she carried on. And we had a knock-em-down experience in that restaurant. And all kinds of people heard us. And the people behind me, she thought that maybe they believed like she did. She said, don't you believe what I'm... They said, no, we believe that, but what that man said. It was a great joy to our hearts, I tell you. But I tell you, my friend, these are things pertaining to God and to be a witness amongst people. And they have compassion on them. People without Christ are going to an eternal hell, man.
I bought a
car the other day from a man. And from a personal person, an individual, not from a agency. And I had the privilege to pray in that man's house. I asked him, may I pray here? His wife said, oh, by all means. He started, okay. And I did pray. I went twice to his house, well, three times actually. And the second time I prayed again. The third time he pushed me out of the house. I didn't think he wanted another prayer. But I said to him, I took out of my pocket a check which says hell. I said, Nick, there's a heaven, there's a hell. And you have to make a decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no other way. I don't know what his wife was saying or thinking, but I looked him straight in the eye. My friend, have compassion. Maybe nobody else would say anything to that guy. But that was my privilege, my opportunity. I was buying something from him. He wanted to sell something to me. I said, okay, then I'm going to take the opportunity to tell him about my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Compassion. That's what a high priest was. He had to have that compassion. Not to be indulgent, but at the same time not to be, you know, critical or whatever. But very, very pointedly about one's relationship to the Lord. And you notice something else in that verse number 2. He had to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. For the reason. You want to know why? Because he himself also is compassed with infirmity. He also is a man who had problems. The word that's used there means that he had a noose around his neck. And what was it? Infirmity. Let me just summarize that word, infirmity. It really means to say he also was a lousy sinner. That's why he should have compassion on somebody else. Oh, my brother and sister, you reach out to somebody about the Lord because you know that you're just as bad, and if it weren't for the grace of God, you'd go to hell too. See? He was compassed out. He had a noose around his neck of infirmity, sin. If there's any verse in the Bible that teaches total depravity, this is it. The high priest, the guy who's at the top rung in the hierarchy of Israel, and he's a lousy sinner. He needs a Savior. I think this is terrific. And what Paul is doing is arguing, saying, listen, there's another reason why you don't want to give up on the Lord. Even the high priest, look at that. He qualified this way and this way, but he needed a Savior. You do too. Don't mess around with this truth. See? It's all there in your Bible, my friend. Don't miss it. Just go verse by verse, word by word, phrase by phrase. And you notice also, verse number 3 says, he is activated towards men by reason of hereof, by reason of this verse stuff in verse 2, by reason of all that. He ought. He had an oughtness. He had a necessity to do something. As for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. You notice that? Because of this arrangement, it was important for him to offer things for the people and for himself. And for what? For sins. See? I put in your notes that the first two, for, or as, for, so also for, those two are peri. But the last one is huper, in behalf of sins. I think this is terrific. Please read my notes. Please digest this stuff. Don't let this stuff go away from you. I've been in some churches recently that they clap hands and they do this and they do that. Nice people. They love the Lord, believe in Christ, just like we do. But it almost seems that it's just, I don't know what to say. It's a gathering of the saints, but there is no food for your soul. No way to tell you what the Bible is actually saying. Here in this church, whether mass preacher or I'm preaching, you get the Word of God. You hear what does the text say. See, and by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. That's the second time he's talking about sins. One is in verse 1, and now you have it down in verse number 3. Don't miss these things, my beloved friend. And no man takes this honor to himself. What honor? The honor to be a priest, a high priest. He's got to be from among men, but he can't say, I choose, I want to be a high priest. He can't say that. God must commend him. The greatest commendation, my brother, is not how much doctors you got after your name. The greatest commendation is he's a man called of God. Yesterday, I had a telephone call from Perry Reddy, Pastor Perry Reddy. I said, why are you calling me? He said, I just want to hear your voice. You should have been here this year. Aren't you still going to come and see us? We want you to come. And I said, well, we had a little discussion about it. But what occurred to me by the fact is, he says, you know, I'm sort of semi-retired, but I got things to do for the Lord. God called me, he said. I can't give it up. I am so pleased to hear him say that. I tell you, brother, more than degrees or qualifications of whatever sort, if you're a man called of God, now, he says, I've got the qualification of all qualifications. God called Aaron to be the priest. Eleazar came after him. But they were men called of God. That's like that Numbers passage I gave you, 16:5. Very important. A man chosen by God. A man to be holy. A man to draw near to the Lord. Do you understand that you as a child of God, you're not a high priest, but you are a priest. And you have that wonderful privilege to be chosen of the Lord, to be holy, to be one who can draw near to God. Did you have your quiet time with the Lord this morning? Did you read that Days of Praise? Wasn't that beautiful? Oh, that was fabulous. If you didn't, get hold of one of those things and read it. Terrific word. Take time to be with the Lord, my friend. There are reasons for not casting in the towel. In South Africa, I was just amazed at what took place in some of the meetings. They didn't have invitations. What happened was that a man would raise his hand right in the middle of the meeting and say, Kiam ketu Jesu, I choose Jesus. Right in the middle of the service. Oh boy, that was great. I choose Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. When did you decide to follow? Are you still there? Are you in the front burner? You've grown cold and indifferent. Say, well, maybe I chose the wrong thing. Things are so lousy. Come on, my friend. It's wonderful to be a believer. It's wonderful to know him as your Savior. He's worth talking about to other people. I trust your heart has been made warm by this little message from this passage of the book of Hebrews. There were Jews who said, too much suffering, I can't take it. I'm not sure this is the right thing to believe. Give me more information. If you need some help, go to the Word this morning. Decide to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. And there's no turning back. None whatsoever. Never get to the place, I think I'm going to quit. There's no quitting, my brother. There's no quitting. There's always too soon to quit. Why? Because He's the wonderful Savior. He saved you. He did everything for you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank Thee for what He has done for us. I praise Thee for this wonderful passage about a high priest. There's so much about that high priest in these chapters, but at least it tells us enough as to the qualification from a human point of view, from a divine point of view. Oh, Lord, we thank Thee and praise Thee. And though the man was a high priest amongst the men and the people of Israel, there's a greater one, even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to take these things to heart, to the glory and praise of God. I pray in Jesus' name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. I would like to ask, it's only 20 minutes past 5. I'd like to sing a closing hymn. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Could somebody give me the number, please? Five, six, two. Thank you, brother. 562. So we stand up, please. If you've never made a public confession of faith in Christ, would you take this as an opportunity to step out of your seat and come to the front and say, I want to confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you're a friend who needs some help, you'd like to pray with a Christian friend, you come. We give you that opportunity. Sing, please. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark lot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without, O Lamb of God, I come. That's the way the Lord wants you to come. What is your need? Have you got a need before the Lord? Can we help you? Can we pray with you? Have you been wanting to throw the towel in about the Lord and say, you know, it's too tough to live? Lord, I just want you to know I do love you, and I want to serve you from a heart that's full of joy and delight. We'll sing the fourth and fifth verses. The issue is not to join this church. The issue is not to be baptized. The issue is not to get your money. The issue is the Lord Jesus Christ. What place does He have in your life? Dear friend, get it settled. Did you choose Jesus? No turning back. Those Jews needed that message. Do you need that message? Can we help you? Fourth verse, please. Just as I am, poor wretched lot, sight rich as He, lean of the mind, may all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. What a message, sing. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
And I'm to pray for Steve. I'm so burdened. I don't want to leave this church without a prayer for this boy and his situation, please.
Sure.
If you could have deacons.
Yeah. God's will.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Rich and his wife and family have been going through some real decision making in their lives, and that's what he wants us to remember in prayer this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Let's get down on our knees, brother. Mm-hmm. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for our brother who has so enthusiastically taught us to sing this morning. We thank Thee, Lord. And we thank Thee for the message and song He brought, as well as that lovely song that Anna sang, and the other hymns and ministry of music, as well as the Word of God. We give Thee thanks, O God, for everything. And I pray this morning for Brother Bill Rich and his wife Beth, and for Stephen, and for Adam, and for the little girls, for the other two boys, for Matthew and Joe. Oh, Lord, take this family, which has sought to live for the Lord. They've tried to bring their children up in the things of God, to teach them the right ways with Christian teaching in the home. And I just pray, Lord, that Thou would do some gracious work amongst them in these days. And the particular concerns that they have, Lord, oh, Father, overrule, we pray, and bring about Thy glory. Hear our prayer, Lord. We're not just mouthing words, not just saying syllables. We're crying out to God, to a God who hears and answers prayer, to a God who knows and understands. So bless these dear ones. Thank You for Rich, who had enough courage to come up here and say, look, I want you to pray for my family, and especially for my boy, Stephen. Oh, God, hear our prayer. Hear us, Lord. And I'll just thank Thee. Thank Thee for the grandparents who are here this morning, for Brother Bill and his wife, Ann. Thank Thee for these dear ones. We commit them all to Thee, Lord. And for all of us, may there not be one individual or one person, one child or one parent this morning who just trifles with spiritual things, but may we come to grips with a life for the Lord. And that song which we sang, may it be indeed a good song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back ever. God, hear our prayer. We ask in Jesus' wonderful name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Yeah. Our brother prayed in the prayer this morning that we should pray for one another and care for one another. We claim to be a church that is caring. Do you care for the person next to you? Do you really care for them? Do you love them? Before you leave the service, why don't you say so? God bless you, dear friend. Appreciate it. That was great out today. How are you, dear? Nice.